Your shortcut to great deals never has any repercussions at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, and I am back and ready for the first time to talk about Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X. Of course, Stephen Fishback and Tyson Apostle had know-it-alls on Wednesday night. I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, but I've heard good things, so thank you very much to my two very good friends from Survivor Token Sheens and the job that they did. Hope you guys enjoyed the show and didn't miss me too much. We've got a lot of Survivor content coming up the next couple of days to hopefully make up for that in some small way. I was, of course, at the Big Brother 18 finale and got some very fun interviews with the cast of Big Brother 18, both in podcast form and in video form on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube for the Big Brother inclined members of our audience. But for everybody else, of course, exit interview right now. We're going to have our interview with the winner of Survivor Code Wrong, Michelle Fitzgerald. Voicemails coming with Kurt Clark. And then at the start of the next week, on Monday, we will have the return of Josh Wiggler and the Wiggle Room. And then I will get into why Rachel lost with David Bloomberg. So plenty of stuff on the way. Make sure you subscribe to Rob as a podcast to not miss any of it. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, let's get into it with the first boot. She is a Gen Xer, and she's here with us now. Rachel, are you there?
Good morning, Rob. I've heard about you, where your wife and Corinne dash on us.
Hey, Rachel. We have a lot of traditions here in the podcasting world, and I hope you are taking everything with a grain of salt, many grains of salt, high sodium.
How many grains?
A lot of grains. Anyway, I do apologize for anything that might have been said that was offensive to you. I know you're dealing with a lot of stuff of being out first in the game, so I'm very sensitive to that.
Yeah, it was just the only two negative, really, really negative things I heard. And it's tough, you know, Rob, you did great. You had great interviews. I know you put yourself out there. And it's tough when, you know, you hear people that haven't met you and, you know, don't treat you like a human being. However, you know, You've been there. You know how it is.
Well, I would say that the one thing I would take away from it is, of course, you know, in all of these preseason things, you know, people don't know you, and it's not like somebody got to spend time with you and really got to know who you are and then starts making fun of you. It's just basically, you know, there's some book report that's out there and we're just trying to fill time before the season starts. Everybody's very excited. The Survivor preseason is so long. And it's just people are getting amped up for the show to come back. So I do hope that nothing ends up being too hurtful that went on in the preseason.
I mean, I didn't listen to Curtin's interview because I heard she talked about Michelle's vagina or something like that.
Whoa.
But I didn't feel that it was anything I needed to do. But, you know, Rob, I'm trying to work on having like an amazing interview and sense of humor like you. So, you know, if I say it, then I'd be able to roll off.
Let's talk about this, because I really was surprised that you were the person that went home when I watched the episode last night, because we didn't see a lot of you really not getting along with this tribe. It was really almost like the whole episode was a referendum on David. Why did they ultimately decide to get rid of you and not David?
You were surprised. I heard the interview where you called me out as first boot.
I thought you had first boot upside. I thought that you definitely, I thought that could be somebody who was a first boot, but I didn't see enough in the episode to say, oh, she's definitely, see, I was actually like, it was surprising to me. I didn't see a lot in the episode to show to me that it was going in that direction.
I didn't think it was going to be Dave, you know, at any point in time. In fact, he only got one vote.
But in the episode, it looked like everybody was talking about how David was a problem and does he have the idol. Do you feel like that people just ended up settling on you because they thought maybe he had the idol?
No, you know, I think they were attempting to blindside me. It's just that I could feel, you know, that it was weird. And I thought I was going home 100%. You know, I know Dave was worried and paranoid and all these things, but personally myself, I didn't think he was going home at all.
Rachel, I watched your interview from the day after, and you said that you felt like that David was putting on a show and he was acting. Do you feel like that he knew he was going to be safe the whole time?
At some point, not in the beginning, but at some point, yes. Maybe immediately after the challenge, feeling nervous. But, you know, you can see where Chris told him, you're good.
Rachel, could you take us through everything with the puzzle in terms of how this was going to go? Because I actually thought that you guys had the right strategy of, okay, let's go ahead and let's take these shortcuts. Because David is supposedly the puzzle master. Again, in his bio, he talks about how he puts together puzzles in his free time. And he works on all these different 3D puzzles. And I said, okay, great. You'll be able to take advantage of David's real strong suit, his superpower. And then you guys got out there. And you guys were not able to complete the puzzle. I'm not sure why that you ended up being the person who took all the blame for that.
That's just how it rolled out. And it is true. You know, Dave is the one who really was the puzzle advocate. And more so I stepped up because there was a couple days conversation about who's going to do the puzzle. And no one was really speaking up except for David. I kind of wish I would have flown out under the radar and been a goat and not stepped up at that point. But, you know, I did. And I'm going to take responsibility for it.
Yeah. How did you get in that position? How did you end up being the other puzzle maker with David? Did you volunteer for that or were you assigned that by somebody who was calling the shots?
Yeah, it was a conversation about at least one day, maybe two, you know, seeing who else was, you know, wanting to do puzzles. And there wasn't anyone that was like David that was really like, I'm a puzzle master. I haven't done a puzzle in I don't know how long. But so I said, you know, I would step up.
Now, the storm went on during this episode, of course, the first survivors to ever be evacuated and amazingly, like right in the start of the season, which is kind of crazy that it happened that way. How scary was it being out there and being so unsure about where you were? Because I know when I first got out there, I was really petrified of being out there in the first place. And then to have a storm bearing down on you, I can't imagine what that must have been like.
Yeah, the storm was awful. I feel that they actually evacuated us pretty late. When Jeff came in, he, you know, announced that we were being evacuated and he leaves all fine and safe on his boat. And then I literally thought CBS had control of the weather because it just changed immediately and got tenfold.
No, Mark Burnett has control of the weather.
He does. We know that.
Yes.
The world doesn't, but we know that.
Yes.
I mean, the sand hurt, the wind hurt, everything hurt.
How much of it was a disadvantage for you? Because I would imagine that there was some real game playing time that was lost. So you only have 3 days with these people. You get off a little bit seemingly on the wrong foot. And then, you know, the game is going to be suspended because you guys have basically like this rain delay where you didn't really have a lot of time to be able to be playing the game. Do you feel like that was a major disadvantage to you to be evacuated during those first 3 days?
You know, we didn't get to talk anyway. So it was just almost like a survivor purgatory on hold, you know, being sitting in a room. So no, it was just a lot of time to think.
Yeah.
However, and observe maybe body language, you know, at the most, which is helpful. However, you know, it was just more a day on hold.
Yeah. But do you feel like if you had that day back where you would have had an extra day to be able to win these people over, that it might have changed anything for you?
No, not really. I feel that once I was on the Gen X mat, you know, I thought I would have fared well having some younger people on my tribe as well.
Yeah. Do you feel like that the Gen X versus Millennials twist was something that really hurt you where you were with the tribe of all the people 33 and older?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, most of the people in my tribe have, you know, kids and a family, which is great. And I think it naturally brings them together. You know, I don't have kids, I'm single. So it does outcast me a little bit just right from the start and, you know, in a way puts me more, and just my mindset a little, I'm more Gen X and Millennial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're a tweener. That's like me, Rachel. Yes. Yes. You're both
yes.
Things.
Yes, you are.
So
we're young at heart, Rob.
Yes, young at heart. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like with you there? We saw one scene in the episode where you were sort of getting into a little bit of a disagreement with Paul, or you were sort of like saying that Paul wasn't focused on the job at hand when you guys were trying to either dig something out to build the shelter or whatever you guys were doing. You said that Paul needs to be focused on things and he seemed a little irritated with that. Did you know that he felt that way about you?
Yeah. I mean, not until right before I went home, but yeah, I did. It came out later.
Yeah. Who from this group did you really feel like that you were butting heads with? Was it Sunday?
I mean, Sunday was more what they edited out is that, you know, Ken wanted to tighten up the Gen X tribe and vote Sunday out because, you know, the millennials are young and they were going to really show up during those physical challenges. And so he felt it was best to vote Sunday out. And I stuck to my word and he didn't. He changed. But you know, when I wanted to keep integrity, and if I said I was going to do something, I was going to do it. So I stuck with it.
So what was it that you said you were going to stick to? Voting Sunday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was on board with him.
Now, could you tell that you and CeCe were sort of alone on an island, and did you guys become very close when you were out there? And I mean, alone on an island, figuratively, of course. Literally, you were alone on an island.
Yeah, we became pretty close. And, you know, I think it was evident that, you know, Ken and I were hanging out a lot. CeCe and I were. And I think it would have been best if I just pretended like I didn't get along with them at all and remain neutral instead of, you know, being so obvious. I kind of tend to wear my heart on my sleeve.
Do you feel like you were betrayed by Ken? That, you know, it sounds like that you guys were somewhat close out there, and then he ends up being one of the votes against you.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, it hurt, you know, to see him put my name down, because Ken's the kind of person that looks you in the eye, and we got along on the island. However, you know, he said he knew at one point that before tribal that I was going home, and that he didn't want to be targeted next.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why he did it.
And was that just a friendship or potential flirtmance on the island?
Just a friendship.
Just friendship. Okay. All right. Look, we have to ask all these tough questions, Rachel. Could you talk a little bit about how you ended up being on Survivor? Because, I mean, I took away from your background and your bio, I don't think that you have a lot of experience with the show, and correct me if I'm wrong. So how do you end up becoming a contestant on Survivor 33?
Well, Survivor is one thing that bonded my dad and I together. It's just, you know, it makes me a little emotional to think about it. Sometimes that's all that we would talk to, and it really bonded our relationship. So Survivor has brought great things. And so I applied about 3 years ago, and they said they wanted to do a family show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying on your...
That's okay.
And they said they want you to do it with your dad. And so I called him. And, well, first I told him, my dad's not going to do a reality show.
Yeah.
And they said, to be a survivor, you should be able to do anything. And so if you can't do that, then you're probably not cut for the show. And I was like, well, you're probably damn right. So I called my dad, and they said, Dad, you know, Survivor wants us to come in and audition. He said, you know, no, I'm not going to do this. And I secretly see, like, all my dreams just crumble and my heart sinks, but, you know, I know better than to tell my dad what to do. And so I said, why, Dad, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, you know, I have to eventually get surgery on my knee. And so, you know, I'm not going to do it. And so, you know, I secretly crushed, but I wasn't going to put the pressure on him. So I called Survivor back, and they said, you know, my dad's not able to do the show, his knee. And so they said, okay. And it was pretty much all right, bye. And I thought I'd never hear from them again. And then I applied a couple years later, and they wound up calling me a couple months before leaving the Fiji. So I was one of the last add-ons, and it was just go, go, go.
Yeah, and then what did your dad say when you got on the show?
Oh, my gosh. My dad's a super fan since episode one, so he had this bullet point list of all the things that I need to do, and they were concise. Not that some of it didn't go out the window once I got there, but, you know, he knows me, and he knows, like, I live in LA. I'm not out in the outdoors, so a lot of it was outdoor related.
Mm-hmm. And then what did your dad say when ultimately he saw that you were the first person voted out? Was he disappointed, or did he feel like that he was proud?
You know, Rob, my dad, I could probably count on one hand, maybe one and a half the times my dad has said he's proud of me. And he told me that last night, so it meant a lot. So again, Survivor comes full circle.
Yeah.
And it's really brought a lot of love and positivity in my family.
Yeah, well, Rachel, look, I really thought you did a good job out there. I was very surprised that you were the person who got voted out. These things tend to just be like a snowball going down the hill. You get a name out there, and then it tends to go that way. So I know it's tough to be in this spot to be the first boot. But anyway, I thought you did a great job. Hope you're doing great. I know you've fought through a lot of things, and this is going to be just water under the bridge, Rachel.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. All the best to you, and good luck with everything else that you're working on, and, you know, hang in there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and all the best to your dad, too.
Oh, Rob, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care, Rachel.
Take care.
All right, wow, there you have it. That was Rachel Acho on the show, and boy, we ran the gamut there. Things were up, things were down. It was definitely a very interesting 15 minutes for me there on the exit interview. Hope she's doing okay. I really get bummed out, you know, when people get upset with stuff that we do in the preseason. I definitely have, you know, mixed emotions about doing it. I know how everybody really always, you know, is clamoring for it. And, you know, for most of the survivors, I think it, you know, lands, you know, pretty well with them and they love it that, you know, okay, it's, you know, part of what we do in the preseason. But, you know, it is definitely, you know, a bummer to hear when people don't take it with the intention that it's really, you know, all in good humor. So that's a lot to handle with being the first person kicked off. So I really do hope for the best for Rachel. And I really do feel like in terms of these first boots that I didn't think that she did a lot of things wrong where you walk away from that episode like, oh, my God, that was a disaster. You know, certainly there were things that you could nitpick and improve on, but I felt like overall in the pantheon of the first boots, I thought that that was a definitely top half of in terms of these people. If we have another first boot draft, Rachel is welcome for a spot on my team anytime. All right, so let's start to switch gears and segue into a segment that we do at the end of all of these exit interviews. But this time around, we've got a new twist this season. So hang in there. You'll want to hear what we're doing with This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? The big twist, we're now doing the Legacy Advantage.
Legacy Advantage. Wow, what was that? I mean, that really, like, snuck in under the radar. I mean, did you hear Legacy Advantage once in the preseason?
I did not. I had no idea it was coming. When she found that envelope, I thought it was going to be a clue to the Hidden Immunity Idol or something that we've seen before. But this, I mean, day 36, it's a long way away.
That's a long ways away, day 36. But we are going to enjoy it and savor it this whole way through. And Jordan is back to set up a new wrinkle here for This Week in Survivor History. And Jordan, this is something that you and I had talked about at the end of last season, because we had been really sort of starting to struggle with, okay, we sort of talked about everything and now we're sort of like back around the order. And what do we do? How do we keep this fresh and interesting for everybody? And so we talked about the idea for what if we could we take a page out of the Mari playbook? Could we gamify This Week in Survivor History?
And the conclusion we came to is that we can absolutely gamify This Week in Survivor History.
Yes.
We are still going to be talking about episodes from This Week in Survivor History, but it's going to be in the form of a trivia game. So today I actually have six questions prepared for you. A couple of them have different point totals. There's some different twists and advantages in the game that we'll talk about in a minute, but it is going to completely revolutionize the way that This Week in Survivor History is played.
Okay, so every week you're going to come in with a bunch of questions and I am going to attempt to answer them and the listeners will get to play against me, and it's fun for everybody because everybody loves the game, and then also everybody loves to make me look stupid. So when everybody gets all of the questions right and I get them wrong, then you get to tweet and post on Facebook how Rob is stupid and I'm smart and why don't I have a podcast instead of him?
Exactly. And I've actually prepared two hashtags for this. If you do better than Rob, you could tweet to us, hashtag I beat Rob. If Rob beats you, hashtag Rob beat me.
let's go easy on Rob beat me. I don't need any sort of you know, legal trouble or anything like that. But Jordan, all right. So very excited to set that up and we'll get into all that. So let me just briefly mention our sponsor for the exit interview and This Week in Survivor History today. And those are friends over at DraftKings.com, because at DraftKings.com, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. I mean, if you look at what Rachel did, if she came in 20th place on DraftKings.com, that would actually be pretty good. She would actually probably make more money than she made playing Survivor.
Yeah, typically when you come in 20th place out of a lot of people, that's pretty good. Much better than 20 out of 20.
Yeah, a person who finished 800th place, and that might be me in the trivia contest, in the week one big fantasy contest on DraftKings, they still got $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge, this is huge, fantasy contest with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your team, follow the action live, renew old rivalries with friends, family, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. Whatever your level of fantasy expertise, if you're a millennial who just feels like, hey, I'm here, I should win DraftKings, or if you're a grizzled Gen Xer, DraftKings is something for everyone. So don't wait. Get to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code Rob. Play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Rob to play for free for your share of $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Okay.
Right. And there's no participation trophies in DraftKings.
Sadly,
right?
No. Not at this point. Not at this point. Okay.
There's none in this game either.
Okay. All right. Well, how is this going to work? So you're going to give us questions on things that happened in this week in Survivor history. Set this up.
All right. So we are going to play three rounds, and each round is going to cover a past season of the show. It's going to be a season that, of course, occurred this week in Survivor history. Now, in each round, there are two questions. There's a two-point question and a one-point question. Along the way, you get to use certain items. There is a challenge advantage. Your challenge advantage can be used once during the game.
The Medallion of Power?
Well, no, that actually comes later.
Okay.
For the challenge advantage, you will receive either a hint, or if it's a multiple choice, I will eliminate options from the multiple choice. So it sort of like work like a 50-50 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Got it.
Then there's also the point doubler. Before I read any one-point question, you can use the point doubler to make it 2 points. However, once you use it, it is gone.
Okay.
And then we have the legacy advantage, which I added. If we're still playing this game on day 36 of Survivor Millennials vs. Gen X, you get a special advantage. And then the Medallion of Power, which does absolutely nothing.
Okay. All right, Jordan. So take it away. So are you going to give us a season? How are these categories going to work?
Yes, the categories are going to be a season. And we're going to start with round one. The round is called You've Been Pastored. And of course, this is going to be all about Survivor Thailand, September 19th, 2002, 14 years ago this past Monday.
Yeah, I remember it well.
So this is the episode where we very sadly lose Pastor John Raymond. But the first thing that I need to ask you about this episode, and this is a two-point question, very important. We're starting off with a two-point question, and it's a multiple choice. What was the name of this episode? A.
Oh. Okay.
The Iceman Cometh. B. The Importance of Being Eldest. C. Birth of a Salesman. Or D. Thai Wars, Triforce Awakens.
And just to also set this up, this is 100% on the honor system. I am not Googling. I'm not going to cheat to win this week in Survivor history. If I lose, I lose. And that's just as fun on the podcast. It's probably more fun than if I win. So
yeah.
I'm not going to be cheating. The answer is B, The Importance of Being Eldest.
B, The Importance of Being Eldest. Rob, for the first time in This Week in Survivor history, you are correct. It is The Importance of Being Eldest. And of course, this refers to the fact that Jan Gentry and Jake Billingsley were the two oldest members in the game. They were the ones who got to draft the tribes.
Yes, The Importance of Being Ryan Eldest.
Yes, exactly. Maybe the music would have been even better on that season.
To get those Survivor tweets.
Yep, tweets, baby, tweets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so Rob, you have 2 points. You have 2 points out of a possible two. You're doing very well, and we are going into the last question of the Survivor Thailand section. This is a one-point question, but before I ask you, would you like to use your point doubler for this question to get a possible 2 points instead of one?
I would rather save it for a season that's more recent that I would feel better about.
You feel better about the more recent seasons.
Yeah, I think
that
so.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Even with all the recording of the evolution of strategy with Josh Wigler.
Well, the Thailand premiere is an episode that's a really weird episode for me because I got the call for Survivor from I don't know if it was, whatever casting associate called me. It was like the day before that. So that was like the first episode of Survivor that I ever was looking at through the prism of, oh, I have to go do this. It's very unsettling.
So who on that episode, who were you watching? Like first impressions, who were you like, I want to play like that guy. Was it Pastor John?
Skater Rob.
Skater Rob. Okay. Just Rob with two Bs. You had one fewer B, but I think you had more game than he did.
Yeah. No, I don't think there's anybody that's really my archetype that's on that season.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
That was a weird season, but this is a one-point question. You're not using your point doubler, which means you'll get to use it.
Which makes sense because I really, probably was my archetype. I sort of like, so they said that we need a Rob after this and not one with one B and that's not from Boston or the general.
Yes, you were a pioneer in Survivor history.
Yes.
But this question, you're not using your point doubler, so it's worth 1 point. So as we know, Pastor John Raymond gets voted out. However, two other Sukjais receive votes at tribal council. Of the following, who did not receive a vote in episode one? Was it A, Gandia Johnson, B, Clay Jordan, or C, Tanya Vance?
Pretty sure that Tanya got one. I'm trying to think. Was it Gandia or was it Clay who got the other vote? I'm going to say I'm giving you the person who did not get a vote.
Who did not get a vote. So two of these people did. One of these people did not.
Yeah. I will say Gandia.
You think that Gandia did not get a vote? Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer. Don't feel great.
Rob, you are incorrect.
Yes.
The answer is actually Tanya Vance, who did start feeling sick in this episode, but she was not voted for. John was the one who voted for Gandia, and then Helen Glover actually voted for Clay.
Yeah.
Not a great start to that five-person alliance, which would end up controlling the game.
I do remember there was some business about that Helen voted for Clay. I just couldn't remember. I thought that Tanya got some votes because I remember she was sick, but what are you going to do, Jordan? That's why I didn't use the point doubler.
I know. It was a very good decision.
Great. I know my limitations.
Nicely done, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to go to round two. And I think you're really going to like the first question of round two. First of all, the round is called Scenes from a Panamanian Village. This is from Survivor Pearl Islands, September 18th, 2003. That's 13 years ago this past Sunday. This is an episode that actually features Fairplay very, very early in this episode saying, talking about how amazing Sandra is, which is something you're not really going to hear too much from him down the road. But this is going to be your 2-point question. And we are going to play a game from a show that I know that you really like. This is a game from The Price is Right. And we're going to play That's Too Much.
Okay.
So the way that this game works, I am going to give you an item that was purchased in the Panamanian village. I am going to read you different values. After each value, if you hear one that you think was more than the price of the item, you're going to yell that too much. But all the item, all the prices leading up to the value of the item are lower than the actual price. So would you like to hear what the item is?
Sure. Boy, we're really going to deep dive into this episode, hey, Jordan. How much were the items in the past that Sandra couldn't tell you the answer to this question?
I know you like the Price is Right, so this is why I wanted to take one.
Not that much.
So, however, if you use your challenge advantage, I will let you use your challenge advantage on this question. You will get two chances. So if you were to get it wrong, I would let you keep going through the different prices.
Well, how do I win? How many points do I have to get to win?
Oh, I actually didn't say that at the beginning. I probably should have. You need a total of 6 points. You need six out of a possible nine.
Okay. All right. All right, so I'll use the 50-50 here, whatever
you
the
can't, yeah, the, yeah, this is the challenge advantage. So if you were to say that's too much and it weren't too much, I would give you a second chance.
Okay. All right, let's go for it.
All right, so the item is the boat that the tribes had to take to get from the Panamanian village to their camp. And, of course, we are using the denomination of Balboas based on the fact that this is the Panamanian money. So we're going to start with 23 Balboas. Would you like me to keep going or is that too much?
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
All right. What about 25? 29. 34.
That's too much.
All right, Rob, you are incorrect, but you get to keep playing because you used your advantage. The next one is 37.
That's too much.
Rob? You are correct. It was 35 Balboas. Great use of your advantages so far.
Thank you.
It was 35 Balboas to go from the village to the camp. Of course, the Morgan tribe was able to get a lot more items in that village. They spent more time and they were more organized at the village. Sandra was able to use her skills at speaking Spanish in order to negotiate. And the Drake tribe was really a mess, as they would be for the whole game. So it was 35 Balboas to get to camp. Rob, you get 2 points. And you have 4 points so far. You only need two more points in order to be a winner in this first week of This Week in Survivor History.
Wow. Okay. All right. Let's keep going, Jordan.
And you have three more questions left. And this is a 1-point question. Of course, you can use your point doubler if you would like to. Would you like to use it for this Survivor Pearl Islands question?
No, I think I'm good. And by the way, if I use one of my shortcuts, does that mean I have to put together a bigger puzzle at the end?
Yes, you're going to have to put together a 100-piece puzzle when we're done recording.
Puzzle.
Yes, when we're done recording, you have to do a whole puzzle.
Okay. All right. Go for it.
Okay. So we spoke about the Panamanian village, and Like I said, the Drake tribe did very well. They bought a lot of
love
items.
The Drake.
And, yes, love the Drake. And one of the items they bought was a thing of some sort of Panamanian alcohol. It was a big thing of alcohol. And of course, Johnny Fairplay got very drunk that night, and he said some pretty outlandish things. So I'm going to read you four quotes. Three of them are things that Johnny Fairplay said that night, and one of them is something that Johnny Fairplay has never said.
Okay.
So
to your knowledge.
Yes, to my knowledge. And he, you know, he probably did say all of these things, but this is just about that night in Panama, night one of Survivor Pearl Islands. Okay. There are four options. A, now looky, looky what I got.
Jordan, come on.
Okay, let me go. You
have to be serious.
All right. A, now looky, looky what I got for you under here.
Mm-hmm.
B, if you guys were 17, you'd so be naked.
Yeah.
C, Lennial. Trish the dish. You piss her off, she be a bitch. And D, F you, man, F you.
I think it was B.
You think B is the one that he did not say? If you guys were 17, you'd so be naked.
Yeah.
Rob, you are incorrect. The answer is A, now looky, looky what I got for you under here. That is a line from the character Becca from the movie Superbad when she's hooking up with Michael Cera.
See?
Yes. Not Johnny Fairplay. It was super bad.
My bad. My bad.
I think Johnny Fairplay could be like, it could be in super bad too. I think it'd be a good addition to that cast.
The sequel?
Yeah. The squeakquel.
All right. George, all right. Where are you taking us next?
That's the end of round two. We're going to round three. And this round is called Where Is My Bracelet? We're only going 1 year ago today. 1 year ago this Friday, September 23rd, 2015, Survivor Cambodia Second Chances.
All right.
Featuring Stephen Fishback.
I remember that season.
Yes. Good season. Great season.
Yes.
So we're going to start with our 2-point question. Of course, the people who were on the season were cast members beloved by America who got voted in by the fans. And I am going to list for you 5 Survivor Second Chances contestants, and you have to rank them from worst to best based on their original finish in their first season. So the 5 people that I'm going to ask you to rank.
And this is only for 2 points? This is a lot of work, Jordan.
This is a 2-point question. I think you'll get it, though. I think your right. knowledge of Survivor, this would clinch the win. This would clinch the win. You could actually get into the extra credit territory. So to clinch the win,
is this, the patron 5 for 5?
Yes, exactly. We have Tasha Fox.
Yes.
Jeremy Collins, PG Law, Monica Padilla, and Shireen Askui.
Okay. All right. Let me just give me the names one more time. I think I can do this off the top of my head. Tasha. Yes. I'm pretty sure she was in 6th or 7th? I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure she was 6. Then who else? Jeremy?
Jeremy Collins.
Yeah, Jeremy was like 11. Then who else?
PG Law.
PG. I think she was 7.
Monica Padilla.
Mopa. Okay. I want to say she was 9.
And then Shireen Askui.
I want to say she was 8. So, all right. So let's just, for the sake of time, I'll give you the quick answer. I think so. What do you want them in? Which order? In the
from
order
worst to best.
From worst to best. Okay, so the order of that would be, I'm going to go with Jeremy Collins. I feel like he needs a good nickname.
I don't know. He's a Patriots fan. He doesn't deserve it.
He needs a nickname. he doesn't have one. Am I missing it? Right?
I don't think. No, he doesn't have a nickname. He's just Jeremy. He's not Jeremiah.
Not Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah?
Not Jeremiah. Who's Jeremy? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe for next week, or we'll get the listeners to tweet at us. What's a good nickname for Jeremy?
Yeah. Okay. So I go Jeremy, Mopa, Shireen, PG, Tasha for the win.
All right. Unfortunately, you're a little bit off. You're going to have to win on the last question. Jeremy, you were correct, was 10th place. Shireen was 8th place. Monica, 7th place. Tasha, 6th. And PG, 5th. So the order is Jeremy, Shireen, Monica, Tasha, PG. So the good news is, though, you have your point doubler. This is a 1-point question, and you only need 2 questions to win. So this question could clinch
it. Feel very stupid because, just a little spoiler alert, the recap guest on next week on the podcast will be none other than 5th place finisher PG Law. Can't believe it.
Yes.
She should be top of mind for me.
I know she should be. And I saw her, I saw her post on Facebook about this. So I hope she's not listening, but I hope that you are able to get this one right. I'm rooting for you, Rob.
Yes.
This is a 1 point question, and I assume you're going to use your point doubler. It doesn't carry over to next week. So there's really no other option.
Double it.
All right. So in this episode of Survivor Second Chances, we all remember that Vidas Bisgauskas was the one who was voted out, friend of the podcast, and he became the first boot on Second Chances this week in Survivor history.
Yes.
One of these options were his final words. The other three were the final words from other first boots this week in Survivor history. A, I like to motivate people to get on and do things. Do something for yourself. I don't blame the guys or gals. I wish them good luck and hope nobody gets hurt. B, I honestly thought that I had this whole game figured out, and I thought I had my whole tribe in control, and I thought that I was allowing them to pull the strings instead of me being the one in charge. It just backfired on me.
Mm-hmm.
C, anything's a possibility. You can have regrets in this game, but it is what it is. So I'm not surprised, but I'm definitely disappointed. And D, I came out here and I tried to find people I wanted to work with, and apparently they saw me as a big threat. Like, it's total respect. You know, they were afraid of me, and for good reason.
Boy, that's tough because I feel like they all basically say the same thing as evidenced by those quotes. I'm going to say that I think that C is Vidas. Can you give it one more time?
Yes. A, oh, you want me to read
back?
No,
just C.
Anything's a possibility. You can have regrets in this game, but it is what it is. So I'm not surprised, but I'm definitely disappointed.
Yeah, I'll say C.
The answer, Rob, is... unfortunately, D. I came out here and I tried to find people I wanted to work with, and apparently they saw me as a big threat. The one that you picked was actually Nadia Anderson. A was Jim Lynch from Survivor Guatemala, and B was Zayn Knight.
Oh my God.
So, Rob, I think we're going to have a lot.
I should have to go to yoga. That should be my penance for getting this wrong.
You should. Next Thursday morning, go to yoga. You'll come back nice and refreshed. But look, Rob, this is only the first week of the game. We're going to be playing this game every week, so I think that you're going to have some wins in your future.
So what are the stakes? I feel like there needs to be stakes in this game, right? Because I feel like you need a...
This is a damn good steak.
No, stop. Okay.
Let's go to Omaha Steaks with Sandra.
Yeah.
By the
Outback,
way...
Outback Steaks. Outback Steaks. Don't get it twisted.
What did I say?
Omaha Steaks. That's like you order them like
a... I meant Outback Steaks. I actually had an Omaha steak the other night, so I had that in my head. The box is right on my counter.
Yeah, it was pretty cheap.
Yeah. It is pretty cheap. Thanks, Ryan Aiken. I think, what do you think the steak should be? Should it be something on Twitter?
I don't know. Well, let's let the listeners decide what should have to happen. I don't mind having to do something if I lose, but I should get something if I win.
I agree. If it's not fair if you don't get anything if you win. So we'll leave it up to the listeners, patrons. I'm sure you'll come up with some really good ideas. I'll be monitoring the Facebook group. But Rob, unfortunately, you are not a winner. So fans, let us know if you beat Rob or if Rob beat you. And thanks for listening to This Week in Survivor History.
All right. So my record going into week, much like the Jets coming out, I got out of the gate. I dominated. I felt like I should have won, but ultimately I did not get the win this week, unfortunately. So I'll be 0-1 heading into week two of This Week in Survivor History.
You don't have the advantage of playing the Bills next week.
Yeah. Where's Rex Ryan when I need him?
Exactly. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast. He'll play against you. I don't think he's ever watched Survivor.
Higher or lower chance, 5% chance of Rex Ryan being on Survivor in the next 3 years. What do you think?
Lower.
Lower. You're taking under.
Yes. That's too much.
It's too much. It's too high. All right. So let's see. All right. So Jordan, are you crowdsourcing any questions for this? If people have questions that they think would be good for this?
I did not for week one, but my plan is to do this for week two. I kind of wanted week one to be a little bit of a surprise. I hadn't told too many people about this, except for some patrons that I talk to on a regular basis. Starting this week, especially if you're a patron, the patrons, of course, get the first crack at recommending questions. But I will definitely be taking the advisement of RHAP fans.
All right. And also, you could reach Jordan on Twitter. He is at Jordan Kalish. Jordan, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Rob. Nicely done.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Exit interview number one is in the books. This Week in Survivor History number one is in the books, and away we go with the rest of our week one of Survivor content. So the next show you're going to hear from me is my interview with Michelle Fitzgerald, which I'm going to be recording later on this afternoon. Hopefully that should be up in the podcast feed by this evening, and you should have it by if you're staying up late on Thursday night, or when you wake up on Friday morning, and then we'll get into the voicemails on Friday with Kurt Clark. Normally, I record that on Thursday as well, but everything is sort of pushed back with this Big Brother finale going on as well. So get your voicemails in, rob@thewebsite.com/voicemail. In the meantime, if you're interested in hearing what a Patron 5 for 5 podcast sounds like, that's the show that I do weekly with Nicole, my wife, not the Big Brother player or the first boot from the aforementioned Survivor Pearl Islands. You can hear a free preview of the show that we did this past week on our Patreon page, which you can go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. I figured that people don't know what that show is, and I thought it'd be a good chance at the start of the Survivor season for people to listen to that. If you have been curious and you want to check it out, you can listen to that show for free. It's under my creator posts on my Patreon page. Plus, you can see a behind-the-scenes video of what goes on here at Rob It's a Podcast on that page as well. robitsawebsite.com/patron. All right, looking forward to hearing your comments on robitsawebsite.com. We'll be back with Mish Fitz later on today. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.